This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
City is wide awake.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Citigroup board meets today to talk about the future of the company. The mega bank reportedly could be in marriage talks or even for sale. There was a stock meltdown yesterday, losing more than a quarter of its value. The company announced a massive cut in its workforce this week. Congress has quickly passed a bill extending jobless benefits through the holidays. The move aims to keep checks going out to laid-off workers. President George W. Bush says he will sign that measure. This morning, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Markets are mixed today. Overseas, stocks started off down in Asia. Then the Japanese finance minister mentioned that governments need to play a bigger role in turning the global economy around. And investors seem to like those words. Japan's Nikkei rose 2.7%. Hong Kong was up nearly 3%. Chinese stocks closed lower. In Europe, not much agreement on the markets there. The FTSE and the Paris CAC 40 are up. The DAX down slightly in afternoon trading. And just a quick word about markets in this country yesterday. Low, low, low. The Dow sits below 7,500. And S&P stocks are so low that a third of those stocks don't even technically qualify for the listing. Europe is reacting to a National Intelligence Council report predicting a major shift in global economic and political power, and it suggests a new role for the United States. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
The Council says America's economic and political influence will wane over the next 20 years. China, India, and Russia will move toward center stage. Wealth will continue to flow from west to east, and the dollar will cease to be the world's number one currency. John Roper is professor of American Studies at Swansea University. He says the Council's conclusions are not surprising.
It isn't entirely unexpected that there should be this kind of assessment, particularly in the context of the current global economic crisis, which after all was precipitated by problems in the American economy.
The Council says Europe may derive little comfort from America's decline. A multipolar world with more centers of power will be less stable, with more conflicts over food, water, and energy. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
President Bush is off today for Lima, Peru. He'll be attending a summit of the Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, better known as APEC. It'll probably be his last summit with other world leaders. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at what the lame duck president hopes to accomplish.
The White House wants APEC to sign on to the broad goals outlined at last weekend's G20 summit, like better regulation and more economic stimulus packages. But will the world listen?
President Bush won't have much influence there.
Sidney Weintraub is an economist at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
They'll be polite, but I think most of them know it doesn't matter what he says anymore.
Simon Johnson is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says the president should forget broad goals and focus instead on reassuring Asian countries who invest here.
This is where the economy is going. Particularly, this is how we're safeguarding investments that you and your citizens are making in the United States.
The president could deliver that message in one-on-one talks scheduled with the leaders of China, South Korea, Japan, and Russia. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org.
Hey, here's a nice stocking stuffer for you. If your home loan is through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, you won't get kicked out of your house through the holidays. They are freezing foreclosures and evictions during the season from November 26th to January 9th. More than 16,000 homeowners will likely benefit. There seems to be this pattern here of people getting in over their heads, mortgage holders in homes they can't afford, and credit card holders in debt up to their eyeballs. What's an industry to do? Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith.
Back in college, Dana Van Hove signed up for a credit card. Little did she know she would spend the next two decades paying it off.
I didn't feel like I was abusive with the card, but it snowballed into this huge monster of debt, which now at age 43, I just got it paid off.
Van Hove's debt ballooned to five figures, and she was being hounded by her credit card company. There's a lot of that going around. Americans owe more than $900 billion on their cards, and it's as big a problem for the credit card companies as it is for the debtors.
This is the greatest crisis period in the history of the American credit card industry.
Robert Manning is the author of Credit Card Nation. He says card companies got themselves into trouble the same way mortgage companies did. They started loosening their lending standards because they were packaging their debt and selling it to other investors.
So the big credit card issuers were looking for literally anybody with a pulse to offer them credit because they were going to pass that risk on to an investor.
And the credit card companies didn't worry that consumers wouldn't pay their bills because those consumers could always tap their home equity lines of credit. Until they couldn't. More than a million people will file for bankruptcy this year, with an average credit card debt of $50,000. Card companies have already seen default rates soar, and they're having to put money aside to cover defaults. Manning says that is making the credit crisis even worse.
This is extremely serious. It raises the question of where are banks going to raise the cash to loan to consumers?
To bring in cash, card companies are changing rules to allow consumers to make smaller payments. And under one pilot program, card companies are forgiving big chunks of debt for 50,000 cardholders. Dana Van Hove negotiated a settlement with her card company for about half of what she owed.
It's not like I spent all that money. Most of it was huge fees and huge penalties. I don't think I got away with anything.
But from now on, Van Hove says she'll stick to her debit card. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
There's more on the fallout from the financial crisis inside our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day and a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.